Scene 4 of The Soul's Probation. The same room as in Scene 1, Capesius and Strader. Capesius to Strader, who has just entered. A hearty welcome, friend, to you who used to stand up valiantly against me in our heated arguments. It has been too long since you last visited my house. You used to like to come more often. Strader. I've had so little time. My life has changed immensely. No longer am I torturing my brain with specters of despairing thoughts. I dedicate the knowledge I have won to honest work that will in some way be of use in life. Capesius. Then you have left your line of research? Strader. You could say, too, that it's left me. Capesius. What goals have you now set yourself? Strader. Our life is far from able to point out goals that men can clearly understand. It is a treadmill, a mere engine that pins us by its whirring wheels and hurls us wearied into darkness when the measure of our strength is spent. Capesius. I've known you when you dared to grapple courageously with all the riddles of existence. I've also seen how you experienced your hard-won knowledge slipping away from you into the void, and deeply shaken, you, as searcher, had to drink the bitter cup of disappointed dreams. Yet I could not conceive you would be able to tear out of your heart the urge that filled you so completely. Strader. Do you remember still the day on which a seeress, through the truth of what she said, made clear to me the error of my path? I had no choice but to acknowledge then that all our toil of thinking can never find the fountainhead of life. For what we think must be indeed mistaken, when to the force of soul this woman called her own, the light of highest wisdom is revealed. I'm certain that stern science would aim in vain at such a revelation. If there had been this one defeat of my conceited searching, I think I could have made a new beginning and joined my path to all those other ones. But seeing how this strange approach to spirit, which seemed to me at times sheer madness, could change mere impotence into creative force, then all my hope was lost. Do you remember the young painter we met together upon those doubtful spirit paths? After such blows of fate, I lived for many weeks benumbed and near to madness. As nature brought me back to sanity, I formed the firm decision to stop all further searching. I needed time to gain once more my health in mind and body. I've passed it joylessly. I made myself proficient in those things which lead to practical accomplishments. Today I supervise a shop which manufactures screws, and thanks to this activity I can, for many hours, forget how torturing my worthless struggle was. Capesius, I must confess that I can hardly recognize the former friend in him who stands before me now. Besides those hours of which you spoke, do you not also live through times in which old tempests are renewed, which force you out of that dull mood? Strader. The hours are not withheld from me when weakness fights with weakness in my soul. But destiny withholds from me in this completely wasted life new rays of hope to penetrate my heart. Renunciation will I conquer for myself. The strength which it demands may give me the ability to follow in another way the path of research. If perhaps my life on earth repeats itself. Capesius. You spoke, did I hear you rightly, of a repetition of your life on earth? So have you then attained that crucial truth upon those spirit paths which even now you still esteem as dubious? Strader. So now you've found the third essential cause that strengthened my resolve to make a new start in my life. There, on my sickbed, I surveyed once more, before I turned to other goals, the sum of knowledge I'd acquired. 100 times I asked myself, what can our natural science teach us, as we can summarize it all today? There is no way around it. The repetition of our life on earth, our thinking neither can nor dare deny it, unless we break with everything that steady research has discovered throughout the course of time. Capacious, could I have had such an experience, it would have spared me bitter pain. For many sleepless nights I've passed, and long that thoughts like these might bring relief and liberation. Strader, and yet this spirit flash has robbed me of my remaining powers. I always felt it as strongest urging of my soul to test through life itself what thinking gave to me as truth. It seemed a chance desire to prove by my own life in all those days of anguish how cruel and influential is this truth. It makes life's joys and sorrows seem to be the consequences of what we really are, and this indeed is often hard to bear. Capacious, this seems impossible to me. What can transcend a truth for which we search unceasingly and which can give us spirit certainty? Strader, that may be so for you, but I feel otherwise. You know my life's strange course? It seemed but chance that crossed my parents' hope for me. They wished me to become a monk. They've often said that they took on their son's apostasy as the great sorrow of their life. I bore all this, much more, indeed, besides, as one is prone to bear one's life when birth and death become the limits of our earthly pilgrimage. Also my later life, with all its crumbled hopes, appeared to me so shaped that it could only through itself be understood. Oh, had the moment never come that brought me to a different opinion. For you must know, I've not related all that destiny has put upon me. I am not the child of those who wished me to become a monk. They had adopted me when I was but a few days old. I was a stranger even in my boyhood home. My actual parents are unknown to me. Estranged have I remained to all that has gone on around me in my later life. My thinking now requires of me that I look back to former times, when I deprived myself of contact with the world. Indeed, this thought must follow thought. Whoever has become a stranger in the world before his consciousness has dawned in him, has truly willed this destiny before his will was guided by his thought. Because I have remained just what I was at first, all doubts in me have vanished. With apathy I must succumb to powers that spin my threads of destiny and will not show themselves to me. What more of cruel proof is left to show how dense the veils are that conceal my inmost being from myself? Now, judge without false thirst for knowledge. Has this new truth brought any light to me? It gave me certainty, indeed, that in uncertainty I must remain. It showed to me my destiny, half filled with sorrow and half with irony. I could repay in the same coin. It overwhelmed me. Tortured by bitter scorn, I had to face my life, and scoffing at the magic trickery of fate, I yielded to the darkness. Yet there remained one single thought: enmesh me, life, in your machinery. I am not curious what makes your cogwheels work. Capacious, the man that I have known in you could not remain for long in such a barrenness of thinking, even if he wished. Already I can see the day's approach when, changed, we'll find each other once again. Curtain falls while the two are still facing each other. End of scene 4.